Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program to bring you important news.
It's time to get the morning sports news on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And welcome back to the Kia Studios with John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The countdown is on to Super Bowl 52. Our coverage of the game, if you're going to be in your car, if you find yourself out and about on Sunday, our coverage starts with the pregame at 3. We'll have a Hawks game at noon that day on Sunday against the Knicks, and that'll begin at noon in New York. And then we have coverage of the Super Bowl from Minneapolis beginning at 3. Kickoff is at 6:30, as you know. And if you find yourself in your car Sunday night, the game is on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. So as we count down to the Super Bowl, Hugh, we note a couple of things. We mentioned it earlier. Maybe it bears repeating again. A couple of notes from the game. Number one, Eagles fans apparently are coming in droves as the weekend goes on, as the week goes on, and they are going to be thick in Minnesota over the weekend as we get ready for the game, and it's going to turn into what one guy said is apparently going to be an Eagles home game. So if you're going to the game, they're going to be so many. They're painting the town green, apparently.
I wouldn't expect anything else, anything less from Eagles fans at this point, man. I mean, this is a long time coming, 13 years since the last Super Bowl. So, yeah, they're going to be out there. They're going to be out there deep. No question about that.
And, of course, Patriots fans, they're probably yawning a little bit. I've been there and done that. I mean, 8 Super Bowls in 16 years. How many times can you go, okay, we'll stay at home this year, hon, and watch it on TV? I don't know. I would imagine they're going to be a throng of Patriots fans as well. But, you know, with the Eagles fans, because my understanding is, and I didn't know this, but there's another story I wanted to reference. Apparently, Chicago has a really big, there's an Eagles following in Chicago that I did not know existed.
Yeah, the Eagles fans are everywhere, John. I mean, they have a big Eagles fandom here. Shout out to Rocky Mountain Pizza. Shameless plug. But, yeah, and I was seeing somewhere, I think last night, there was a pep rally in South Carolina with Eagles fans.
In South Carolina?
Yeah, I think it was last night. I don't know if the pep rally was last night, but I saw some pictures from that. So, yeah, it's a big following. It's Eagles fans are everywhere, man. And just being a part of this moment and the Eagles being in the Super Bowl, people are feeling really good about their chances, even though, you know, New England is going for their sixth title. A lot of Eagles fans are feeling good about this.
Yeah, they should, because they're going to win the game. I'm just saying.
I agree.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. That's some of the sound for the game as we get towards
what, Wendy? What?
I get a quarter for every time. I'm gonna seriously put a jar in here for every time you and Bo say that's right. You put a quarter in the bucket.
It's not. We don't say that's right. We say that's right. That's right.
Whatever. However, person.
That's 25 cents right
there.
Yeah,
exactly.
Well, I don't understand.
We're already at a dollar.
But why is that so irritating to everybody? Because Daryl hates you too.
I just have been less vocal about it, but Daryl, it's corny.
Daryl, we'll split the money.
First off, you can't impose your socialist rules on me.
Yeah.
Or you.
Is Switzerland socialist?
It's not socialist.
I've never been Switzerland. I just try to take the high road on this show. And it's corny.
Yeah, it's getting old.
I do like the fact how Daryl just draws a line. It just leaves it just like that.
Right.
But that ain't right. That ain't right.
It's corny.
It's something to do. It's show bonding. It's like show bonding.
Cool.
That's right.
I'm glad you.
Now we're at $1.25.
Oh, it's $1.25.
That's right.
Hey, I'm gonna go with you.
$1.50.
Call your shot.
That's $1.75.
I don't have any monies on me.
Well, that's too bad. You better stop saying it.
Well, you can come collecting because you ain't getting nothing.
Hey, that's right.
That's $2. We're at $2, Daryl. $1 for you. $1 for me.
Hey, 2 weeks from today is Valentine's Day, and I'm just saying, guys.
Two weeks.
Get your stuff in order.
Blow her mind, not your budget, with an engagement ring from Shane Company, because Shane Co. is your friend in the jewelry business.
Just give her some meat. Since it's National Meat Day.
Because
engagement ring.
You said you in National Meat Week you could eat this gigantic steak, and I tweeted it out. Now you're saying you can't.
You tweeted out a picture of a 72-ounce steak when I said porterhouse. Clear as day.
Yeah, we were talking porterhouse.
Yeah, John, we never said 72-ounce steak.
I said something about a 72-ounce steak because I was looking at, you know, places that you eat big steaks, because you were talking about taking a steak home. And I'm like, you don't do that when you eat steak. As a man.
You do. I mean,
men do not take steak home.
I rarely take steak home.
Here's why I take steak home, because I'm cheap. No. See, I go into the Longhorn. I have the bread. I have the big salad. I have the big potato. Hang on. Yeah, let me finish. I have the big potato. I have the steak, and then I take the other half of the steak home, and I have it for dinner the next night.
Show of hands. How many guys in this studio have ever taken a steak home that they've ordered? John's the only one raising his hand.
I have before, but
Bo,
I normally try to finish it.
I am surprised that you've taken a steak home. You have just, your man card has been reformed.
Well, when you go to New York Prime, you get a big bone-in ribeye.
I don't care.
Let me finish.
He just went high octave on that.
And
let me finish.
That's right.
And what happens is
oh my gosh, we're at 225.
You eat appetizers, you get the drinks, then you get the steak.
Right.
Now you got sides, and now you're sitting there, and I'm sitting there, and I'm like, you know what? I could be, gluttonous right now, and I could eat the rest of the steak and go, hold on, and roll out of bed tomorrow morning. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to have steak and eggs.
No.
Yeah.
You don't take steak home. You do not take steak home when you order a steak at a restaurant. You guys have violated man code.
You can have steak twice.
You will be reprimanded. No, that don't work like that. You order steak,
everybody
when you go out to a high-end
steak.
Steakhouse? No. yeah. I got you.
Really?
But no. But no, you don't take steak home. You don't take morning steak home.
Be a lot of steak eating in Minneapolis for the Super Bowl this week. Bill Belichick talking this week about the difference between this year's Patriots team and the ones he's gone to the Super Bowl with in the past.
One of the differences this year was just we had more veteran players from other teams, kind of like we had in 01. We had a lot of guys come in from different organizations that played key roles on our team, along with a lot of veteran players that were carryovers. Didn't have a lot of contributions from our rookie class this year, although we had, had some, but more from veteran players from other teams. And so that made it a little bit different. Not good, bad, just a little bit different.
A little bit different. All right, we're going to play a soundbite. Normally, as the host of the show, I will toss the soundbites and set them up. But here's a soundbite from Tom Brady that I'm just going to let play.
I don't think we want to try to overcome that again this year. That was pretty tough to do. Hopefully we can get a lead, play on our terms. I realize it's a 60-minute game, and however it shakes out, ultimately you've got to figure out how to win in the fourth quarter. And if it comes down to that, we got to have confidence that we can go down the field and score to win the game.
Yeah, okay. Hope your hand gets better. Meantime, the Eagles are out there talking about what they have to do. Head coach Doug Peterson, who's had quite a nice run as the head coach of the Eagles so far, talking about the number one key to their game.
Well, it has to start with our defensive line. Obviously, you got to get good pressure on him. If you let him sit back there, he'll pick you apart. He's a Hall of Fame quarterback. He got great vision, gets the ball out of his hand extremely quick. So our defensive line has to get that quick pressure on him.
And Fletcher Cox agrees with that sentiment.
At any point, any time, man, he makes big plays, and he's been around the league long enough to do things like that. Everybody on our defense respect him, and, it's going to take 11 guys to beat him, not just one guy. It's going to take 11 guys to beat that guy, man. That our locker room got so much respect for him,
So it's Brady, who's playing, of course, in his, eighth Super Bowl, against Nick Foles, who's not only making his Super Bowl debut, but wasn't even the starting quarterback till 6 weeks ago, playing in his first.
Being in this moment is just unreal. It's been a crazy year. Our team, just the guy, we've had a lot of injuries, unfortunately. But just to be here, like you said, the journey that the last several years, it's unbelievable.
So let me ask you a question. If the Eagles were playing, say, the Steelers, okay, would people have a different, because it's Brady, there's an assumption here that other teams don't belong? Is that kind of what you're getting? Because the national media seems to think that you and I in picking the Eagles were out of our mind.
I mean, of course they're going to think that, Johnny. Look at the success and the level of sustainability that they've had over the years. And you would automatically think that they're the favorite. They have to be the favorite. Everything is skewed towards them because they were here last year and the way that they won last year. So, I mean, it is what it is. But you don't worry about any of that. You block all of that out. You just go out there and play the game. The game is still only played one way. Regardless of who won last year or whatever, how many records you got or whatever, how many Super Bowls, whatever, the game is still played one way, and you're going against the best team in the NFC right now. You're the best team in the AFC, but you have flaws. You have holes. And one of those holes is if you can get to their quarterback, then you can make some things happen. I think the biggest thing that you have to do with this team is what the Kansas City Chiefs did. Stay consistent. Stay consistent. They can do everything that the Chiefs did in order to win that game. They can run the ball. And the Chiefs did it with a shoddy secondary. So, there you have it. Speaking of, they weren't shoddy at the beginning of the season.
Right.
It had been a So I take that one back.
Because Eric Berry got hurt. But guess what? The Chiefs upgraded their secondary big time yesterday in a trade by getting Kendall Fuller, really good young defensive back, cornerback out of the Washington Redskins, and a third-round pick in exchange for Alex Smith, who goes to the Washington Redskins, gets a contract that's worth $94 million, an extension worth $94 million, $71 million guaranteed, and Alex Smith is now the quarterback of the Washington Redskins. And Kirk Cousins is a free agent to go sign a big deal with pick a team, Denver or the Cleveland or the Jets or the Bills or yada, yada, yada. Kirk Cousins and the price of poker just went up for Drew Brees, for Jimmy Garoppolo, even for an extension of Matt Ryan, because Alex Smith just got him some coin, Hugh, $71 million guaranteed. And if he gets that, boy, what is Brees worth? What is Ryan worth?
If I'm Kirk Cousins, I'm sitting back and be like, man, I'm about to see some major bank in 3 years. In 3 years, Kirk Cousins could potentially have seen, close to $200 million. Like, seriously.
Yep.
And, man, what was he, a third-round draft pick? Fourth? Something like that?
Something like that.
Man, he's about to see $200 million. Damn near. That's a beautiful thing, man. God bless America.
The morning headlines on this Wednesday hump day as we continue from the Kia Studios with John and Hugh, not just football but basketball as well. Hawks play tonight against the Hornets. Yeah, D. White and the Charlotte Hornets tonight at Phillips Arena. If you want to see Dwight Howard again, he's back. Our pregame coverage begins at 7. The tip is at 7:30 with the real voice of the Hawks, Steve Holman, on the call on the home of the Hawks, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hawks are 5-5 in their last 10, played some pretty good basketball. And so hopefully they can keep it going tonight. Again, the Charlotte Hornets in town. Tickets available at Hawks.com. But that's not necessarily all the big news in basketball. There was an amazing triple-double last night by the Beard in a Rockets win over the Magic. James Harden became the first player in NBA history, Hugh. 60 points in a triple-double.
That's bananas. That's bananas. Does that put him in the forefront for the MVP right now, Darryl?
He has to be.
I mean, man.
The grown man out there.
60 of them things.
60 points in a triple-double, never to happen in the history of the NBA. Also a Houston Rockets single-game scoring record. Meantime, though, the bigger news is two major injuries in the Eastern Conference. The Cleveland Cavaliers lose Kevin Love. Yeah, all the problems with Kevin Love being sick and everything. Late in the game yesterday, a fractured left hand. Out for 2 months. Here's LeBron James.
It's a huge blow for our team, obviously. Anytime you lose an all-star or you lose anybody, you know, any part of your crew, that was a tough blow. We already limited in our bigs anyway, so we even get a lot smaller now. So, but, you know, at the end of the day, we hope for a speedy recovery for Kev, and, he can get back on the floor as soon as he can. But it's a tough blow for us.
And by the way, you did not want to be on Team LBJ because he's lost two of his picks to long-term injuries already. He picked Kevin Love out for 2 months. He picked John Wall, who's also out.
You're forgetting somebody.
Who?
Cousins.
Boogie Cousins. Man, that's right.
Your team is looking kind of sweet right now, John.
Man, I'm telling you. John Wall out for a couple of months. Man, that's right. That's three. John Wall out for a couple of months. He's got a bad knee injury. Here's Bradley Beal.
You know, you never want to see anybody get injured. You know, especially a guy like John. Things do happen, and it's always next man up.
Well, big blow to Cleveland with losing Kevin Love. Crippling blow to the Washington Wizards, Hugh. I mean, they were already kind of, scuffling around anyway, losing John Wall for 2 months. They may not even make the playoffs anymore. At the same time that we're seeing more and more tweets that Gordon Hayward might return for the Boston Celtics, I'm thinking they're changing the guard could be in the offing or no?
Man, it's hard always, again, to count Cleveland out. But, man, with Kevin Love being hurt, though, man, and them already struggling, I don't know. As long as you have LeBron on the team, you got a chance. But what does that mean for the rest of the players? Does that mean LeBron has to step his game up and be more selfish and play? I don't know. But to have him definitely hurt, to have Kevin Love hurt, that definitely hurts their chances tremendously.
There is one other thing. LeBron, in the course of talking yesterday, somebody asked him. We know the NBA world was rocked by the trade of Blake Griffin to the Pistons. Andre Drummond, by the way, going to be an All-Star now. But they asked LeBron about the trade, and LeBron didn't talk so much about the trade itself as he talked about trades in general, and it got a lot of people talking what he said. Here's what LeBron said.
A little bit of shock when I first saw it. but it's another business. As unfortunate as it looks, you know the business, so it is what it is. Yeah, when a player gets traded, they was doing what's best for the franchise, but when a player decides to leave, he's not loyal, he's a snake, he's not committed. That's just that's the narrative of how it goes. So I'm definitely, I know that firsthand.
He knows that firsthand. Man, there's some there's still a little bitter wound there, it sounds like to me, with LeBron. He's a snake. I know that firsthand. Just thought it was an interesting little slice. Super Bowl week, but a lot of big news. There's huge news potentially in the NCAA affecting your college football team. A big rule change that looks like it's going to pass now. Hey, it's the morning show on Sports Radio 92 on the Game with John and Hugh from the Kia Studios on this Wednesday. Hope you're having at 8:23 in the morning, a safe drive in if you're headed in from the way outside the perimeter. WOTP, as those of us who live out there call it. And welcome to WZGC and 92.9 The Game as we discuss, of course, the Super Bowl ahead with Wednesday and all the big football news that is breaking in the NFL, the Redskins and Chiefs trade, for example, where Alex Smith ends up as the new Redskins quarterback and leaves Kirk Cousins as a free agent. And then through all this, there's football news, too, for the NCAA. And Hugh, there was a big piece of news that came down yesterday that, because of the Super Bowl and everything else, may have gotten lost a little bit, but the blogs are running with it, but I think it needs to be kind of a bigger deal because it sounds like the NCAA is all on board with passing it. This is a change to the transfer rule in football and basketball. And the rules that is being taught, the Big 12 is proposing it, and it sounds like from all the reading I could do is everybody's on board with changing the transfer rule. And what the new rule would be would say that if your coach leaves or gets fired, that you can transfer without any penalty, okay? Now, the old transfer rules apply that if you're a player, and we'll just use them just because they're here, if you're a player at Georgia and you decide you want to transfer to UCLA, okay, if Kirby Smart hasn't left or be fired, you're going to have to sit out a year. But if you're a player at, say, Florida State, where Jimbo Fisher just left to go to Texas A&M, you're free to transfer anywhere but the school that the coach went to, in this case Texas A&M, anywhere and not have to sit out.
I think that's a pretty cool rule because, you know, a lot of times coaches have these relationships with players, and that's the main reason why a player decides on the school that he's going to is because of the coach. And now with so many coaches moving around and so many things changing, that if the coach is fired or he goes somewhere else, I think is great because that allows the player to go somewhere else and keep his career going. Because a lot of these young men have aspirations of playing on the next level. So that way they don't have to wait a year. They don't have to sit out a year. They can go in, and if they can find a team that they can go to and play immediately, that's great for the player. No question about it.
Because at the moment, if the way the rule sits as we speak, if you are Jacob Eason, okay, you have to transfer to Washington, and we'll use him as an example. Because Kirby Smart didn't leave, you have to sit out for a year.
Yeah.
Now, you can go to a lower level. He could go play at a 1AA school like Eastern Washington or Portland State and play immediately, but mm-hmm. He can't go to a Division I school. There are also rules within conferences that say that you have to sit out too, but for a long time this has been held against players, and I'm for even further expansion than this, but I think this is a step in the right direction, especially at a school where you have like Ole Miss, okay? Now, Shea Patterson, Ole Miss was granted a waiver for the most part. Shea Patterson, you know, they get in all the trouble, they get a postseason ban, their coaches let go, and Shea Patterson transfers to Michigan, and so they're going to get a waiver, and he could play next year at Michigan. This is going to get rid of the waiver thing, okay? There's going to be no waiver. So when your team gets banned from playing in the postseason, you can go, okay? That's the other part of this, by the way. Even if the coach doesn't get fired or leaves, if your team gets a postseason ban, you can also go without transferring, having to sit out a year. And I think these are rules that favor the players. I've always been long in favor of the fact that it's always bothered me that athletes are treated differently than other students. And I think that they ought to be treated the same, frankly. This doesn't quite do that, but it gets towards that.
It's a little bit of a it's a little, you know, everybody, it kind of levels the playing field a little bit because coaches leave all the time and they give, for whatever reasons, they either get, you know, a better job or they get fired. So this allows a young player's hopes and dreams not to be put on hold because it has to be tough for a player to leave the school that he committed to in the beginning and then have to turn around and wait another year just to get his career started back up again. So, yeah, this is great for those players who coaches leave or are fired to allow them to go to another school and just keep their hopes and dreams on track.
Now, I'm going to say, is this going to create a serious – we had a situation this season where we had the new early signing period, and, of course, coming up in about less than a week is the old national signing day where teams are going to fill their classes out. But we had that new signing period, remember, back in December where we had, I believe, 70% of the top 300 players went ahead and signed in that period. And because of the new signing period and the panic in front of it, Hugh, we had all these schools firing coaches, you know, during the year, at the end of the year, and we had this rash of openings at major schools. We had Tennessee, we had Nebraska, we had UCLA, we had Florida. I mean, all these schools that opened up, Arkansas, you name it, A&M, they had all these schools that opened up with all these coaching openings, and that's what that new thing created. Now, if this rule had been in place at the same time, would we have seen a mass exodus of players leaving those schools to go to other schools? Maybe. And will we see that this coming year? Maybe. But if that's the case, so what? We'll deal with it and we'll adjust. I just don't think that you can penalize. These players have far too long been placed into a situation where they are penalized if a previous administration broke the rules in terms of postseason bans and what have you, or if a coach leaves and you're stuck with a new coach who wants to, for example, change the system that you're in. If you're a quarterback and let's say, for example, we'll use Georgia Tech. Let's say, and this is not going to happen, but let's say that Paul Johnson got fired, okay, for whatever reason, and you brought in a new coach next year. He's a pro-style offense coach. What happens to Taquan Marshall? Is he just stuck? He can't play quarterback in that system. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I see your point. Yeah, definitely your point. And he would have to probably go somewhere else or change positions if he wants to stay at Georgia Tech.
Right.
So, I mean, it goes both ways. It allows the players to either, you know, figure out what they want to do or move on and go to another school and be productive.
Yeah, so I think you're going to – it sounds like it's universally and unanimously going to be approved for a rule change. Now, whether it'll take this year or next year, that's the big question at the moment. But, yeah, that would be the big change. So it's going to be something to keep your eye on because it would be a massive rule change. And, yes, could it lead to the potential of, with this early signing period, of having more coaches fired at the end of this early signing period? Yes, because we've seen that change. We're adjusting to the change. One of the changes we're adjusting to, Hugh, is the whole concept of buyouts for coaches. Brett Bielema got $12 million yesterday not to coach at Arkansas. Brett Bielema.
That's awesome. That's awesome, but that's his contract that he signed, and that's that's your buyout. That's your buyout price. Well, Coach Sumlin got like what a $10 million about 2 weeks ago. So yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, the rules are changing in college football, so we'll keep our eyes on it. We are doing a few things today. One of them is running a Vision Computer poll about the Super Bowl, and we're getting some response about that, about who might be the X factor. I think the comments are actually better than the poll in this case because some of the comments are pretty funny on our Twitter page.
Yes, so we're asking you at 929 the game. So who will be the X factor for the winner of the Super Bowl, whether you think that's going to be the Patriots or the Eagles? So we have Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, Nick Foles, Fletcher Cox, and obviously we can only put four options, so write-ins have been welcomed. Right now, if you are picking the Patriots to win, 32% say Tom Brady would be the X factor. If you're going with the Eagles, you say Nick Foles at 27% would be the X factor. And a lot of people tweeting in saying, The refs.
And the first person to do that, I said, touche. Yeah, you know, because, you know, it is going to be highly watched on Sunday what the referees do in this game. Will New England get one penalty on a punt? Maybe. You never know. Just saying, because it is the New England Patriots. Oh, and by the way, speaking of our social media, did you not say 72-ounce steak?
I did not. Wait, we could pull the tape. I said a porterhouse. I could.
No, we started. I remember the conversation. It kind of evolved into
porterhouse.
It started out porterhouse.
Yes.
And then I started Googling 72-ounce steak because I wanted to see what it looked like. And then it kind of evolved into that. But no, it was a porterhouse.
Yeah, no real human could really finish a 72-ounce steak in one sitting.
A man could.
No, that's not true. John Candy did it in The Great Outdoors. Could.
Okay, that was a movie, and it's called Fictional.
By the way, the 72-ounce steak challenge is at a big steakhouse in Amarillo called the Big Texan.
Insane.
Okay, and you have to not only eat 72-ounce steak, but you got to eat like 3 baked potatoes and a whole bunch of other stuff. Woman set a new record eating all of it in 20 minutes.
A woman?
Yes.
In 20 minutes?
In 20 minutes.
Gosh, I don't even know if I could move.
Goodness.
That's a lot.
And Wendy doesn't even want to eat sides with her 24-ounce porterhouse. She says no sides.
You simply said, could you finish a porterhouse steak in one sitting? And I said, absolutely, I could. You did not preface it with any sides.
Her name was Molly, and she finished it in 20 minutes.
Good for you, Molly.
Took all that meat. Ate all that meat, Molly.
That's right.
Molly Schuyler.
We're up to like $5.
No, we're not, because I don't live by your socialist fastest rules.
Sometimes I wish we had a camera in the studio. All right, next up, we venture into the area called Hughes World.
Yes, we talk about like Super Bowl wishes and concerts and whatnot. I'll tell you more about that on the other side of Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Go me!
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This is the game plan.
How about the Atlanta Hawks, folks?
Atlanta now. Martinez, he was brought down.
Deflected. Deion Jones has done it again.
Our Atlanta Hawks, United, and Falcons play here because the game is everywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Do y'all understand that I played football 10 years in the NFL? So when I start talking like I'm talking, it's because I'm still in football mode, so back up off.
I don't understand it, bruh.
No, but I'm saying that's what I'm saying. You know, you gotta stay focused, man. That's all I'm saying.
Only from the mind
of Hugh Douglas.
Yeah, you know, it was funny, man. I was thinking, you know, leading up to the Super Bowl, and everybody's talking about, you know, Nick Foles and what he's been. And I even saw a billboard in Philadelphia said, in Wentz we came, but in Foles we trust, or Nick we trust, or something like that. But anyway, at the Super Bowl, at the opening ceremonies of the Super Bowl, Carson Wentz was asked whether or not how he felt about being in this situation, about not being able to play in this situation. And this is what he had to say to the people.
I'm as supportive as anybody for this team and for these guys, and I'm super excited for them to be here, and especially Nick, just seeing him take over. Couldn't be happier for him, but at the same time, there's those real emotions that are human, and I don't know many people more competitive than myself, and so wanting to be out there is definitely tough, but, you know, I get over that pretty quick, and I just, you know, be around these guys, and things are going as well as they can be.
And why I find this fascinating is because I'm surprised that this is even a story, because this is what we want from our players, to be human and to have some kind of emotion. Anybody in this situation would be disappointed when you've led a team as far as you've led this team and not be able to play. So I thought that this was a non-story. I really did, but I just find it fascinating how we try to pick and choose things or pick apart things that are being said when that would be the natural reaction of anybody. This is the same thing with Jalen Hurts when he got pulled from the national championship game against Alabama, when he was playing for Alabama. It's one of those things, man. It's the way that you handle it. And I commend Carson Wentz for handling it the way he did, because, you know, a lot of times people feel like athletes are non-emotional. They don't care about anything. But it's clear that they care. So, you know, shout out to Carson Wentz for being transparent in that situation, because people love it when people are being transparent.
Yeah, no, he has done a great job of handling what was a difficult injury for him. And, of course, we, you know, even if you're not an Eagles fan, I think you kind of, you know, root for him to be able to return, because he was such an impact. He would have been the hands-down MVP.
But not only that, John, the history for him, like, he grew up in that area, North Dakota or whatever. And, you know, he was talking about how he saw, you know, he knew the Super Bowl was going to be there and how he wanted to play there. And that's how he envisioned it to be. And, you know, he's a deeply religious person. And for him to have to sit back and not be involved with that, that has to be a tough pill to swallow, because that's how he's always envisioned it. And not only that, not knowing whether or not you'll ever travel that path again and not have that opportunity. That is deep. That is deep. So I commend him for that. And I also want to give a shout out to LeVar Ball and his son Lonzo, because there was some talk yesterday. I think I missed the stories a couple days ago, where Lonzo has announced that he is going to have a concert in Lithuania at the end of the season. Now, my thing is this, and I know you got to go to Daryl for this one, because I know Daryl's all up on all that music. Yeah, what is he gonna perform?
He has a couple songs right now.
A couple songs?
At least two or three. He had been dropping music while he was at UCLA also.
Can we, like, I heard a little bit of stuff. Do you have anything? You got anything we can listen to?
I'm going
to
give you that and the announcement that he made.
Okay, give me that. Yeah, I want to hear this. Hey, I came this far, you know I had to get up.
Zio, get off, get off. La Bus, Lia Tuva. Congratulations on you guys' event. Wish I could be there, you know, obviously with you guys and my family. But I'll be there in the summer for my concert. My first one ever. It's going to be in Lithuania for you guys only. Me, Lou Yus. Jumping the sauce.
I had a stunt on my head. I had a show on the ball. I gotta say, man, listen, in the genre of music that I've been listening to.
The line
to,
of your beautiful basketball.
Yes.
You just had to throw that in there, huh?
That's the best.
I gotta tell you.
Can you do the opening act?
In the genre of music that I've been listening to, I kinda like his flow. I do. I kinda like the trap.
You didn't
music.
Say this before.
I did. What
I tried
you mean?
To play this before. I played
what
the Super Saiyan song and you lit me up.
I did not.
Yes, you did.
You know what?
Yes, you did.
No, I don't remember it like that. I think sometimes, you know what I'm starting to think there? Sometimes that you just want to be snippy.
No.
And just come at.
That is not true. I played the song because we talked about a gentleman. I don't know if he was from the Dallas Cowboys or somebody rapping.
Cole
Beasley was rapping. And then I played that and you was like, no, this is whack. That's exactly what you said.
Okay, maybe.
So,
but I've been
twist
listen,
your
I've
things
been
back.
Because you said they sounded the same.
Exactly, forget I said it's girl. Exactly
hey,
the same. Thank you, Wendy. Thank you, Wendy.
Hold up, Wendy. We don't need you co-signing.
Y'all try to make me like I'm crazy or something.
But okay, I will admit. Okay, fine. I was wrong.
Yeah, thank you.
But I've been hanging out with my son lately, and I've been listening to a whole. I've been getting a heavy dose of what. Kodak Black and 21 Savage.
Need to listen to the new Migos. That Migos band.
Yes. I've been listening to all that, man. So now and who is the other dude? The dude that sing the race song. The race. I had to do the race. I forgot his name. Young Migo, whatever. One of those young rappers' names. But I've been listening to this music with my son, and I've kind of changed my mind about all that.
How's this going to go over? I'm just kind of curious, Daryl. Not that you would know this, but you are the music expert, and so I'll take a shot in the dark.
KK, that's his name.
How does this go over in Lithuania? What is Lithuanian popular music like?
I've never been to Lithuania, but it seems like they're accepting of all things ball family. So,
oh, how true.
It seems to be pretty
that
true.
That reminds me of the question John always asks me when I go to another city. What's the feeling? What's the atmosphere there like? I don't know, John. We just got off the plane and came to the hotel. I'm not really sure.
That's that reporter in John. He needs to know.
I need to know these things.
Yeah, that's real.
I just didn't know what Lithuanian pop music would be like. Lithuanian basketball? Is that like a hit?
Yeah, it's like everything on Borat.
I actually think that was a hit song, right?
That the man sang.
That the man sang.
I think that it was a real song, too.
I'll tell you what. And then, not only that, didn't we just see some clips of LeVar Ball over there in Lithuania at the MAMA
At the Lithuanian Music Awards.
It's called the MAMAs, right? The MAMAs. M-A-M-A's. And he was the man over there. So he might have Lithuania on lock. He really might.
It's coach ball to you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry, you're right.
He's the head coach now.
Give him the respect that he is due.
I told y'all this stuff was coming when it happened.
Yes, that's the name of the song. Shout out to my what's his name, my Twitter follower. He told me the name of the song. That is right. It was TK.
I said that.
You don't listen
to me. You listen to your Twitter follower. No. You know what? Don't ask me nothing else. Ask them.
Or Paul Bible.
Okay. Right.
Calm down, Daryl.
What Paul Bible say?
Did I not say that?
Calm down,
that's right.
Daryl. Calm down, Daryl.
Oh, God.
You said TK first. And I said, oh, yeah, TK. But the reason why I wanted to give my man Blackbeard a shout out is because he was talking about how the song was talking about how he beat a murder case. Like a for real murder case.
And that's what you got your kid listening
Dude,
to?
Listen, my son is listening to this and I'm asking questions. And I like the beat. I just like the beat. But he was like, Dad, this guy really, he was talking about how he beat a murder case and all this other stuff. But that's what kids listen to nowadays. Listen, Daryl, I'm here to tell you, when your daughter gets older, you're going to want to have that connection. You're going to be holding on to any kind of connection that you can have with your kids.
If anybody's going to have a music connection with their child, it was be me.
That's what I'm saying. It might be something else. Lord. It might be a Barbie doll connection. She might be into Uggs. You might have to start wearing Uggs or something.
That's not happening.
You
never know.
I'm not going to wear Uggs.
I'm not wearing them.
Finally,
I'm not going to wear Uggs.
See? You look like you got a pair.
No, I don't.
UConn Cornelius?
They do look like UConn Cornelius shoes.
Former NFL star Damian Woody is going to join the show next. We're going to talk to Damian about the Super Bowl. Also get his thoughts about the trade, the big old trade. As we continue, that'll be live next on The Morning Show with John and Hume.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.